Interstellar Realities Radio. Friend, I was once again tucked away in the Appalachian Mountains of Western Pennsylvania. We are live with Bob Fletcher.
Okay, well, it's my pleasure to be here.
Well, Brother Bob, we're here tonight to talk about one of the greatest conspiracies that's probably in the last 100 years at least. Planet X is making a comeback right now. Now, I said 100 years. Obviously, Planet X goes way back beyond that. But, you know, it didn't really start coming to the surface until really, from what I have researched, from 1900 until now is when it really started coming to the surface. And more specifically, it seemed like after 1970 into the mid-80s, it was really talked about. And then it disappeared. And now it's making a comeback. So let's just take a moment and talk about, because I believe Planet X is tied into the sixth seal in Bible prophecy. I believe it is probably sure what causes that sixth seal. But could you just, let's open it up there.
Sure.
And let's talk about Planet X. And just give me all you know on the subject. And where did it start with you?
That'll take a couple of months, but let's just scrape on the surface today. About 3 years ago, I started looking at something that had been brought to my attention by several people, and it was basically the fact that there was huge, not millions of dollars, but billions of dollars, and even trillions of dollars with a T, disappearing out of the federal budgets. So we're talking much more money than I was used to chasing. We used to chase in these variety of corrupted operations. You chase a million or 10 or even $20 million trying to track that down. When they would it would show up, let's say, disappeared out of a budget. But a couple of years ago, a fellow named Donald Rumsfeld, who was in charge at that time at the Defense Department, he came forward during a congressional inquiry, and he said that $2.3 trillion had vanished from the Defense Department budgets over a period of a few years.
Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld declared war, not on foreign terrorists.
The adversary is closer to home. It's the Pentagon bureaucracy.
He said money wasted by the military poses a serious threat.
In fact, it could be said that it's a matter of life and death.
Rumsfeld promised change, but the next day, the world changed. And in the rush to fund the war on terrorism, the war on waste seems to have been forgotten.
My 03 budget calls for more than $48 billion in new defense spending.
More money for the Pentagon when its own auditors admit the military cannot account for 25% of what it already spends.
According to some estimates, we cannot track $2.3 trillion in transactions.
$2.3 trillion with a T.
Now, the amount we're talking about now, by the way, $2.3 trillion is the equivalent to writing a check to every man, woman, and child in the United States of America for about $5,000. That's how much $2.3 trillion is. And Donald Rumsfeld, very calmly sat before the Congress and said that that money was missing. They didn't quite know where it was, coming out of defense budgets. Well, the senators and the congressmen, of course, were set back on that. You know, I mean, they're used to stealing a few million here and there. But when you start talking that kind of money, that's pretty serious.
Because this is what's happening, ladies and gentlemen. Every so often, Rumsfeld comes out and goes, I don't know where. I don't know when. But something awful is going to happen. Thank you. That's all for today. No further questions.
Now, what happened, coincidentally, and it is not coincidental, but what they claim to be a coincidence, that was about 1 day or 2 days before the 9/11 terrorist activity in New York and in the Pentagon. So when 9/11 took place, a day or so after Donald Rumsfeld admitted that they had lost $2 trillion, obviously we never heard the story again. It just disappeared into the smoke of the Twin Towers building in New York City. So the announcement was rather well-timed because it just vanished. So following that, some folks had brought, of course, to my attention the fact that Mr. Ron Paul in the Washington, D.C., had come forward and had asked the Federal Reserve System if he could get an audit on the gold, because the gold out of Fort Knox has been rumored to be gone. It is gone. There is no gold in Fort Knox any longer. And when Ron Paul came forward on the floor of the Congress, the Senate, he asked for an audit of the gold to make sure that it was all still there, and they told him to simply go away.
You get nothing. You lose. Good day, sir.
Because the Congress and the Senate has no right to even look into the Federal Reserve operations. They cannot request. We cannot request through the Senate or the Congress an actual legitimate audit of all the Federal Reserve gold that supposedly is in Fort Knox. Now, what also happened within a few months, of course, we can remember back 2010, that period of time, 2008, was when the world banks were in a serious financial crisis. You had Greece, and several of these countries are actually on the border of bankruptcy. And the Federal Reserve in America had to lend them money and put money into bolster up the international banking finance, or it was all going to crash. And that was back around 2010, around that period of time. Now, at that time, Germany and several other nations had come forward and had asked the Federal Reserve the same thing that Ron Paul had asked. And that was, we need an audit because the foreign banks, a lot of people, if you're not into this, you would not know it. The foreign banks around the world for many years have put billions and billions of dollars of gold bullion from their different nations around Europe and around the world, South America, etc. They had deposited tons of gold in the Federal Reserve. When Germany and six or eight other nations came forward in about 2013, 2011, that period of time, they came forward and they said, we need to take some of our gold out of Fort Knox and put it back into our own reserves here so we can stabilize our financial condition. Guess what happened? The Federal Reserve System told those countries that they could not have any gold out of Fort Knox. And the best that they could do for those countries was to give them an audit of the gold, but that would not be until 2020. So at that point in time, now this is a couple of years ago, it really red flagged for me. I thought, wait a minute, something really is rotten in Denmark. We have all this money disappearing from standard legitimate funding out of Washington, just vanishing. And then we have the gold at Fort Knox is gone. I mean, it's gone. If it was there, they would show it to the appropriate people, and they're just not doing that. You know, when you're talking about trillions of dollars vanishing, and then you look at the rest of the scene, for example, changes that had taken place for 20 years with the space program being very, very different from what it originally was, and the expansion of what they called continuity of government within the United States, and the fact that they were arming the police departments with military weapons all over the United States, it started to really bother me. It was a matter of what is going on? What is it that would cause these guys who usually steal what they want to, cover it up, and build them a new home in Tahiti or something for vacations and get away with it? But now they've changed direction. Then I remembered in the 90s, I had several people contact me, and they said, Bob, I have films of the construction of underground facilities all over the United States.
Our black budget, for instance, garners $1.023 trillion every 2 years. It's over $500 billion a year. Right now, there are 131 active deep underground military bases in the United States. There's 1,477 of them worldwide. Each one has an average cost of $17 to $19 billion.
And that came to me from several people. Some of them were truck drivers who told me fantastic stories about going, having an 18-wheeler, 40-foot truck filled with foodstuffs being delivered into a government facility, and they would follow the map where they were supposed to go, and there was nothing out there. Let's say it was outside of Texas in the desert area, and they would go, and the side of a mountain would open up, and they would drive down inside of a mountain, and it would close behind them. Now, those are fantastic stories, but to me, back in the 90s, they were just that. To myself, that was almost an outrageous kind of a story. They would tell me about going into an underground facility in Tennessee and driving for 600 miles under the ground. Those things were a little mind-boggling and pretty fantasiful type of a report for me. So I kind of put it on the back shelf. These people sent me pictures, and they sent me what were VHS videos at that time, but I didn't know what to make of them. It didn't mean anything, so I sort of put it on the side burner, so to speak, the back burner. But in, again, now this is about 3 years ago, I started putting all of the dots to connected all of the dots. And what had taken place in approximately 83, apparently with the launching of a new infrared telescope being put way out in the far reaches of the solar system. Apparently, Planet X, or the planet called Nibiru, which is mentioned in all the biblical writings, it's mentioned in all Bibles and scriptures from many foreign nations, it's mentioned in historic writings of the Chinese emperor 2,000 years ago, it's written on the side of the walls of temples that were 4,000 years old. There was a study done a while back of the clay tablets that were from Sumeria that had been completely broken down and analyzed by a man named Sitchin, S-I-T-C-H-I-N, and he had deciphered clay tablets. There's 25,000 of these tablets. They actually went back 4,000 years, and they described Nibiru, the planet X, and its relationship to coming back like Halley's Comet, coming back and going around the sun every once in a while and then going way back out again in orbit, way out past Pluto, and coming back again in a couple thousand years. And this coincided with the biblical talk. It was called wormwood in the Bible, and it's described in, like I said, a whole multiple of biblical scriptures of sorts coming from around the globe 2,000, 1,000 years ago, 2,000 years ago, 4,000 years ago in the case of the Sumerian clay tablets. So what they described is Nibiru being a planet in a huge elliptical orbit similar to that, like I say, I compare it to Halley's Comet that comes by every 75 years. There's another comet that we recently discovered that came around in 1997. That was called the Hale-Bopp Comet. It is similar to Halley's Comet, except that the orbit that the Hale-Bopp Comet is in has been calculated to be 4,200 years. Now, that's 600 to 800 years longer than the proposed orbit of Nibiru, or Planet X. So originally I thought, wow, you talk about 3,000-year, 3,600-year orbit of a planet, that's really amazingly large. I thought almost that that was ridiculous. But once I realized and got into it and found out that we did have the Hale-Bopp Comet of 4,000 years, well, then that took my excuse looking like it was a crazy number. That just erased that. So I started studying the people that really have been into studying the planet X or Nibiru for many, many lifetimes or a long time or following up on other people's studies. And there's several people that have spent their entire last 30 or 40 years just studying the astronomical potential of Planet X. Now, and get back to where I was in 1983, apparently it was discovered sufficiently that scientific people at a very high level came into President Reagan and George Bush, the vice president, and said, we got a problem. It looks like now we found Planet X that's been talked about, like you mentioned earlier at the beginning. It's been talked about at least and written about, of course, going way back, but been in modern times, in 1960 and 50, there was writings about it in Life magazine and Reader's Digest and Look and magazine, all the major media of that time in the 50s and the 60s. But apparently in around 83, Ronald Reagan and his people were told that this is on its way back in and that it had been discovered, and now what are we going to do? All right? So at that point, it changed everything in Washington. And what you had now was this handful of large numbers of, I'm going to refer to them all as, excuse me, criminal corrupted persons out of government. And they decided that what we have to do, obviously, is if this thing's coming back, we've got to expand underground facilities that are going to hold enough people so that our families and our immediate, most important, wealthy people of the United States are going to have a place to hide. They called it continuity of government, and they built 103 of these underground facilities underground in the United States. When I started investigating, I ended up being able to get plenty of information on them, including most of the locations. Additionally, we have live footage and photographs of the underground facilities. Again, not all of them. Most of them, of course, are secret to above top secret in their classification. I also started looking into it to find out what the status was on other foreign nations, because something of this sort coming back, a biblical event that will devastate the globe, obviously has to be known also to the highest levels of other governments. What I found out is that Russia in 2010 put out a mandate that by 2015 that they would have 5,000 underground facilities prepared for as many people as they could in Russia. I found out they had one large facility. Actually, they have several large, but one of them's big enough to hold as many as 30,000 or 40,000 people underground. I discovered that the European major nations have been also building underground facilities. And then I also discovered, which anybody can look up because it is part of public information in general, you can look up what's called the Seed Vault of Norway or Denmark. They have built a giant international cooperative seed vault maintains billions of seeds in the to be hidden away. It's underground in the side of a mountain. You can look it up on a computer. Just put International Seed Vault, and you can find it yourself on the computer. This is a storage facility maintaining all of the necessary seeds to reseed the globe, the entire face of the earth, or as much as they want or can, after the complete devastation similar to the original floods of Noah, which is what Nibiru, Planet X, will potentially bring upon the globe when it comes close to the earth. Now, I'm going to take a brief pause here, get a drink of water, and if you have any questions up to this point in time, feel free to shout them out at me and let me know what you would like to ask.
Absolutely, Brother Bob. I'm telling you, this is getting better and better by the minute. Wormwood in the Bible to me is more referring to a meteor falling into the waters, and I don't believe it's specifically talking about Planet X. However, Doug Elwell, author, says, author of the Planet X and the Sign of the Coming of Son of Man, says he sees Planet X in the Bible through his understandings of scriptures. Now, I myself, I draw more of a speculative conclusion that the apocalyptic events in the Bible that are talked about in the tribulation are brought about by Planet X. I can't say I can see it clearly in the scriptures, although I do believe it can be theorized that Planet X is the cause for some of the biblical events talked about concerning Bible prophecy. And that's I do have that theory.
However, this is going to answer your question, and it fits both case situations. First off, it's not going to be a theory, all right? It's been researched sufficiently that the Planet X has come around several times in the past. Now, and when it has happened, it has varied in the degree of devastation. However, it has come around several times, and this is documented geologically, etc. But here's what you're looking at that fits both, or actually five situations, if you will, but at least the two that you mentioned. And it's not a matter of theory in terms of the wormwood and meteors falling.
Here's the case right there. That is going to happen.
Right. And now I'm going to tell you exactly how it's going to happen according to putting together all of the dots, connecting all of the dots, not only political, historical, biblical, and non-biblical scriptures written on the top of the mountains by the Tibetan monks that recorded it when it came around, and the emperors of China that wrote it down. And it's a fellow named Gil Bruchard who has done unbelievable, wonderful investigations on the biblical side of this and can explain a day-to-day description of when it has passed previously and what had taken place and what will take place once again when it passes around the sun and back out.
Gil has been on the show.
Okay, you know Gil, you know his work. I am completely in line with about every single thing that Gil has come up with, but the only difference between he and I is that I brought in all of the other dots. I've connected the politics, the money, the theft, the fraud, and the corruption, and put it all together, the underground facilities that have been built by these people, stealing your money and our money to build them, by the way. You know, billions of dollars under the ground in these facilities. They're so huge, they would take your breath away. Now, let me get back to my point, though. Here's the basics of what is described to most likely take place, and this is relates to the scriptures, and I'm calling it that because it's just written word, not only biblical, but of all other ancient scribes that have put all this down in black and white, so to speak, going back many years, when they have actually, some of the people that had survived the previous passes and wrote about it and inscribed it in clay and did it in bronze castings and things of that sort, describing what took place. And of course, they didn't understand what it was, but they described it exactly as it most likely will happen again. Now, here's where it fits into Wormwood and the meteor falling into the water and all of that. That's all obviously written in reasonably plain words in the Bible, so to speak. You don't have to draw too many wild conclusions about what's being described as things splashing into the ocean, etc., and causing great tidal waves, by the way. Tidal waves are going to be unbelievable, tsunamis when this comes around. But it will also be, part of that will be like Noah's flood, and it will be this planet, which is five times, calculated to be five times the size of Earth, will have a gravitational effect on the Earth that hasn't been seen since it came by the last time. Now, here's what basically will take place. When it comes back around, it will come in, and this is even according to Gil Broussard's wonderful work that he's done. It will come in and circle around the sun. It will go behind the sun. When it does, you have to remember this is going to be similar to what we see when we watch the Halley's Comet. When it goes by around the sun, but it's way, way, way out, and it's basically that's just a frozen snowball, to make a simple description of it. So it comes around the sun. It has a long tail behind it, dragging behind it, goes around the sun, goes back out in a short time later, and goes back out for 75 years, not to return again for 75 years. The Hale-Bopp comet that I mentioned earlier does exactly the same thing, but it will. It was bigger, by the way, than the Halley's Comet, and it drags its tail around behind the sun and then goes back out again, heading towards the far reaches of the solar system again. Now, when Planet X or Nibiru comes around, the difference is, number one, it is a solid mass five times the size of Earth. It will cause an eclipse of the sun for a period of time. It has three or four planets that are actually, I'm going to refer to them as moons, that travel with it and travel around it, similar to the situation with our moon relative to Earth. The moons will be dragged around with Nibiru at the same time. And then we will have a tail of debris being dragged along, gravitationally sucked along behind this the primary planet, Nibiru. When it comes by, it will travel behind the sun. The Earth, on its regular rotation around the sun, will, in fact, pass through the tail of Nibiru. When it does that, you will have the equivalent of the biblical meteorites that fell upon the Earth in hail and brimstone. They didn't know how to describe it, but basically we're going to have flaming meteors of different sizes, meteorites, crashing. Actually, we will be crashing through that debris. It will take about an hour travel time to pass through it. Then, bearing in mind now, the Nibiru would be ahead of the Earth, going around the sun, and it will take about 155 days for Nibiru to come out the other side and head back towards outer space once again, not to come back for some unknown period of time. Now, there's a debate between two or three different groups of people that have been studying this, and that's okay because it doesn't affect the bottom line on this. The debate is whether it comes around in 3,005 or 3,600 years, or if it comes around 350 years, which is closer to the figure that Gil Broussard believes in, doing his studies. And he has very good information to back that potentially up in terms of the the numbers of years. All right, so here's what I'm saying, where it doesn't make any difference to you and I. If this comes around in our lifetime, then we're talking, it doesn't make any difference if it's been out for 3,000 years or if it has come around 10 times 300, which would be 3,000 years, and coming around 10 times since that same period of time. So in other words, it doesn't make any difference if it's 3,000 or if it's coming around every 350 years. It does not make any difference because if it comes during our lifetime, we are the ones that will have to face whatever it will bring with it. And the meteorites, those things where the biblical students talk about that being what is written of in the wormwood, I believe what it is in reality, it is Nibiru itself is the wormwood, and all of the debris that will hit Earth when we go through the tail of that thing, actually we will plunge through the tail, and it will take whatever, I think it's about 1 hour of actual going through the tail itself. It's actually mathematically been analyzed. But that will bring with it, you see, that will bring with it a multitude of meteors, et cetera. And I must say this, we already have an increase and a multitude of effects today from Nibiru. Now, when we talk about the effects of Nibiru, it's the problem is going to be it's a multitude of effects on the Earth. But, you know, unless you really get into studying the planets, et cetera, and become astronomically educated, which I don't pretend to be. I'm the messenger relative to that information put together by 1,000 astronomers and scientists over a couple thousand years. You know, and I don't pretend to be the 100% expert on all of that. But I was able, because of my background, I was able to connect the dots, to make sense out of things. It's like, you know, why wouldn't, for example, over all the, since 1983, which is a period of time when this, I believe, the realization really settled in to the bad guys in Washington that this was a reality and was going to change their lousy, corrupted plans, because all of a sudden they had to worry about survival of their own families. So it changed things from just plain stealing and going about their normal one world government concept. This sort of threw a monkey wrench into it. So the wealthiest are all digging holes to go underground. They have them finished for the most part. They're continuing them, making them better, making them bigger, and making them more full with survival materials and foods for themselves in the United States and all the rest of around the globe. Now, relative to the Mideast, see, that's all amazingly biblical. The outrageous increase and expansion of the this ISIS group, well, they're not a handful of bandits. They have billions of dollars that they have stolen. They went, not counting what they may have different countries backing them that we don't know about, corrupted governments, but they literally went into bank after bank and stole every penny that was in there, whether it was American dollars, gold on deposit, or, in fact, dinars, you know, their own money. They have billions of dollars in their pockets. They have stolen billions and taken over billions of dollars worth of extraordinarily serious weapons. These guys have serious weapons. They're not throwing stones and picking up pistols with six shooters. They have missiles. They've got everything you would want to continue what they're doing. It is biblical, obviously. It's the amazing confrontation of the Muslim versus the Christians. If people don't realize that and how biblical that is, they might as well just go back to sleep and have another drink, because they're just not paying attention. Now, the timeline in 1983 being approximately when it really was seriously accepted in Washington that this thing was coming back and it's going to really do a number on the earth, period. It will constitute Noah's floods once again. The earth more than likely will end up tilting 26 degrees on the axis of earth. The biblical accounts and the worldwide accounts, going back to the old emperors in China who wrote these things down in diaries, and they literally tracked what they called the flaming dragon or the visiting star. They tracked that across the sky for the 155 days that it took to go around the sun and back out. During that period of time, on the entire globe, there was global reaction of floods, crazy weather, meteor storms, fires, everything that you could imagine. And by the way, one reason that they know that it was a 26-degree shift of the axis is that one of the a particular thing called the sky disk was discovered that was literally a 12-inch Bronze Age disk that on it is the description of the passing of Nibiru causing the blocking of the sun, the eclipse of the sun, for a period of time. When it passed, there were actually galactic, all the stars were written and drawn into this. It's like a picture. It's a 12-inch piece of bronze highlighted in gold. It was discovered in 1999 in Germany. And so these people had survived it, and they drew the equivalent of drawing a picture of this thing passing. But the sky disk was dated. This was done 3,600 years ago, and it described Nibiru passing at that time. All right? And it gives it, it says it was, I believe, if I'm going by memory now because I don't have it in front of me, I think it was April the 10th of 3,600 years ago, April the 10th at 8:30 in the morning. The amount of information that has been generated from many, many people studying this brings it down to where we can do a rough calculation as to when Nibiru may pass through close by once again, and I'm going to get to that in just a minute. The big deal is this. Here's what's going to happen, provided if, and I also, I have to preface this. 5 years ago, if you had come to me and asked me to even do a study or even look into this report on Planet X, et cetera, with the knowledge information I had 5 years ago, I would not have touched this with a 50-foot pole. I'm not going to put my name on a report as crazy sounding as this was or would have been. I would never put my name on it. I wouldn't have touched it. But progressively, I realized that the only thing, and once I learned all the information that has been put together on Nibiru and its previous passing, and the biblical scriptures about it, once I had learned that and put it together with everything else, there is nothing else on the face of the earth that would cause the major governments of the world to dig survival space under the ground and into the sides of the mountains to hide themselves away. There's nothing else that fits it, period. They have taken over, we have taken, in the United States, we have taken over what was NORAD's facilities in Cheyenne Mountain. There are no longer equipment in there for checking and tracking missiles and weapons of that sort. That's what it was originally built for. It has been taken over. It is one of the new hideouts for the elite to run into the mountains when Nibiru passes close. It's one of the 100 and some that we have in America. The Chinese have thousands, and I have pictures and films of this. The Chinese actually have facilities so large under the mountains, into the mountains, and the sides of hills that they have stored entire fleets of airplanes and battleships. Now, it's been calculated related to all of the information put together, put into a computer and kicking out the analysis of the most likely time for its return, the second least likely time, and then the third very least likely time to be passing back by. Now, this is going to upset some people. The possibility is very high, according to Gil Broussard and many other people, and the relationship to when it has been passing previously, is that it will be seen in December, and it will take several months for it to come close enough to go around the sun. But it will be seen in December of this year. And then we will have January, February, and then the key months for it to be closest to pass near the Earth and causing the most trouble would be March and April of next year. And then it will head back out, and whatever damage it's done will be finished, and we'll be licking our wounds. If it is not seen, and what I'm talking about seen is where it's up there and it looks like a new star up there in the sky coming inward, it will be getting bigger every month, every week, a little bit bigger. It will look like a single star originally, even though there's probably a couple of moons going around with it and a lot of space junk. It'll be seen in December. It'll get bigger in January, February, and then March and April, make its journey around the sun and back out. The journey around the sun and back out is probably 155 days. Now, all of the best scriptures and the information related to when it had passed before and was written in, logged in, and drawn, sketched out, and all the rest of that, it has always been, apparently, in March and April, the Passover period of time. All right? If, in fact, we don't see it this December, and with it coming in, then we probably have a complete year to wait for it to come. If it still has not arrived in that second year from today, if it's still not on its way in, then we would be into 3 years of March. Okay, in other words, March or April, 3 years from now. But the consensus is that it's very likely to be seen this December and to pass in the March of April of next year. All right. Now, it's not my estimate. That's an estimate of other people that are I consider to be the experts. Now, here's something else that's very important. This is where the politics fits into this thing. The people that are keeping this secret from us, all right, a lot of people say, when will they tell us this is coming? They will never formally announce that this is coming in, all right? They are going to have, this is from the point of view of the bad guys, all right, the guys that have the tickets to go underground in the underground facilities and bring their families with them, all right? Those guys are going to have martial law declared in the United States a few months before 100,000 astronomers start seeing this thing appearing on the horizon, coming in as a new star. So what are we talking about? If the timeline is being seen first in December and January, they will have to have some form of martial law a few months before that in the United States, so they will have complete control over the general public when it starts to become a riot on the surface of the earth. If the leaders of any of the major nations came out and told the world that this thing is going to be coming in 5 months or 2 months or 6 months, that this thing was going to be coming by, It would be the end of all things. The financing would be, the entire globe would go into riots. So it's not going to be announced. They will never tell us. Now, the next question is, how would they get away with declaring martial law? Because they have to have the general public to go along with it. They can't just do this. They have to have the public believing that it's a good idea for martial law. All right? So it'll be one of three things. It'll either be some major terroristic acts, like 9/11 type thing, chemical, biological, or something like that, across the country in several places. If they announce that it looks like Russia is going to have a direct confrontation of World War III for some reason or another, and or Red China, that will be good enough for martial law. And the third one of possibility is the obviously an outbreak of an uncontrollable disease like Ebola or something like that, large enough that it would be a believable reason for martial law. One of those three is going to constitute, and again, the best sign for people to understand when this thing might be coming around is when you see that martial law genuinely starting to take place. So then that's going to be the only thing that the average American public is going to be able to understand. And again, it could be even the solar flares. The solar flares that they were talking about, the head of the CIA, James Wolseley, the solar flares that he and Janet Napolitano was talking about, again, all of these will be part and parcel to the passing of Nibiru whenever that takes place. And unfortunately, it looks like it may be within 3 years. And again, our sign that's going to be a realistic signature is going to be when they pull the need for martial law in America.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Bob Fletcher from Bob Fletcher Investigations.
It literally is the most important report that I have ever done, and I have done reports at the request of the Senate Intelligence Committees. I have done reports directly for dictator Manuel Noriega's lawyers. I have done reports for congressional and Senate investigations for 25 years, and I would never do this as a frivolous bunch of baloney. I am absolutely a complete firm believer in what I have completed here.
What? What?